In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we just finished with volume 17, not just finished, right in the middle of it. Volume 17, 517, 1925. And Jesus says that when you come before him, the Supreme Majesty, come before him. Okay, so this is what God is asking of the little children, the Holy Divine Will, is to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to pray in front of the monstrance. And this is what he says. I want you to say, I come to requite you in the love for everything that the Sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified. So this is an event that's coming. It's an event that's coming. I want to requite you, Lord, in love for everything that the Sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified. So this is everyone, all the little children, the Holy Divine Will, yet to come for all eternity. I come to enter into the order of grace so as to be able to give you the glory and the requital of love as if all humanity, past, present, and future, made themselves saints in order to prepare you for all the oppositions and lack of correspondence to grace. So that prayer is something that our Lord is requesting of us. This is the prayer that Father Bucci would pray often. This prayer here, I come to enter the order of grace so as to give to able you all the glory, all the requital of love as everyone has made themselves saints to prepare for you all the oppositions, the lack of correspondence to grace. And as much, and Jesus says, and as much as you can, you, Louisa first and us, search within our holy divine will for the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier. Okay, so here is a talk that has yet to be given. I want you to search, this is what Jesus is asking, within the book of heaven, for all the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier. So this is a talk that will be in the future. So as to make his sorrow your own, the Holy Spirit's sorrow your own, as well as his secret moans, his anguishing sighs in the depth of the hearts, in seeing himself so unwelcomed. Humanity doesn't want the Holy Spirit. I want to do it my way. And that's where all the worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin comes in. I'm going to do it this way. No, have you prayed to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to do it. You know, it's like, what can God do? I mean, how insulting. He says, and since the first act that the Holy Spirit does is to bring our holy divine will as the complete act of the human sanctification in seeing himself rejected, he moans with inexpressible moans. And you, in your childlike simplicity, say to the Holy Spirit, Spirit Sanctifier, I implore you, I pray you again to make your divine will known to everyone so that by knowing the divine will, they may love the divine will and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your most holy divine will. So here's the second prayer that Jesus is asking. He says, okay, if you do the first part, good. Now I want you to enter into the second part. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry. I implore you. I pray you again that this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the second Pentecost, may happen. That your will be known to everyone. But that by knowing it, they may love your most holy divine will and welcome your first act of their complete sanctification. That is praying with this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said to his apostles, go to the cenacle and wait for me. Wait for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to the Father. I want you to go to the cenacle and with my mother and pray. That's what we're doing with Louisa. We're going to we're being with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, praying for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, praying for this second Pentecost. When people say, well, I'm living in the divine will, the second Pentecost hasn't happened yet. It's like Peter saying, I'm going to go out and baptize the 3,000 before the first Pentecost. I don't think you have the grace. I don't think it's going to be done. And it wasn't done. It was after the first Pentecost. What is coming? The whole world is going to become Catholic. Everyone's going to become Catholic. Everyone of good will, of God's will become Catholic. That's the universal life that was breathed into Adam. There's not many lives. There is the life. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you. I pray to you again, make your holy divine will known so that by knowing it, all humanity may love it. All humanity may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your most holy divine will. The next part is universal life. The word Catholic in the catechism means universal in the sense of according to the totality, in keeping with the whole. First, the church is Catholic because Christ is present within her. Where there is Jesus Christ, there is the Catholic Church. Second, the church is Catholic because the church has been sent out by Christ on mission to the whole human race to get the whole human race ready for this second Pentecost. The character of the universality that adorns the people of God is a gift from the Lord whereby the Catholic Church ceaselessly and efficaciously seeks the return of all of humanity and all of its goods under Christ the head in this unity of his spirit. Great things are coming. Great things are ready. And God has asked us to be alive at this time. Volume 19, 626, 1926. My daughter, the little daughter of the divine will, must not only think about and occupy herself with defending the universal rights of our creator, giving God the return of love and of glory for that everyone owes the Father as if all were one in such a way that the Father may find everything in Louisa. Finally, a soul, a human born of original sin. Jesus has redeemed us. Now, the sanctification of Jesus and Mary is found in Louisa. Because our divine will involves everything and everyone. And one who lives in the divine will possesses universal ways, Catholic ways, where therefore Louisa can give us, Triune God, everything. And we, Triune God, can recover everything. Because as our daughter, Louisa must also defend the rights of the sovereign queen. As Louisa operated in a universal way, as Our Lady operated in a universal way, and therefore Our Lady has a love, a glory, a prayer, a reparation, a sorrow for her creator, for all of humanity, and for each soul. She let not one act escape her that humanity owes their God. And in closing, in Our Lady, her maternal heart, Our Lady loves everyone and each one in a universal way. This is so amazing. It is so astonishing that what God is doing. In Acts, listen to this. She loves all in her maternal heart. She loves all and each one in a universal way. And to act as a magnanimous and most loving mother who pours her own self out for her children, she generated everyone in her sorrowful heart. Each fiber of her heart was a piercing sorrow in which Our Lady gave life to each of her children up to the fatal blow of the death of her son, God. The sorrow of this death placed the seal of regeneration of life upon the new children of this sorrowful mother. That word regeneration is powerful. That's what's coming. We're going to be regenerated to the way God wanted us in the beginning. And it's through who? It's through Our Lady, Jesus and Mary, and breathed into Louisa. She's the firstborn of this new regeneration of life. So Jesus says, now you must know that the soul who has done good to everyone, past, present, and future, the soul who has loved everyone, past, present, and future, has operated in a universal way for God and for all of humanity. That's the Blessed Mother.
Our Lady has rights over everything and ever over everyone with divine justice. This is what God planned. He said on the cross to Mary, "This is your son." And he said to John, "This is your mother. Take her into your home. Take care of her." Let's look at our homes. Do we have a picture of the Blessed Mother? Do we have a statue of the Blessed Mother? Do we want people who come into our house to know that Mary is our not only our mother, but our queen, queen of heaven and earth, and we love her? How great to be Catholic. She operated in a universal way, in a divine way. And my celestial mother was able to operate with the ways of her God because she possessed the kingdom of our most holy divine will. So this is why Jesus says the kingdom of the divine will is my mother's. It belongs to her. Jesus says, now having operated in our supreme will, Our Lady has the rights of possession of the possessions that she formed in our kingdom. Who else can requite Our Lady if not the one who lives in the same kingdom? So we are the children of Mary. We pray the Holy Rosary. We wear the scapular. Today, 106 years ago, we remember the miracle of the 13th days of May. You know, the song, if I think I'm saying it correctly, it was a new beginning for humanity at the beginning of the 20th century. And the devil saw it, and Jesus says it was a century of pride, a century of war, a century of blood. And Jesus says, that's the evil one. He was a murderer from the beginning, God said. And now Jesus is saying, now in this time, it's going to be the century of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. What did John Paul II keep on saying for those 27 years that he was Pope? He kept on saying, get ready for a new way. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. What did he say in 2000? He says, the final devotion, Jesus said, that I give to the church, this is what he said to St. Faustina, is divine mercy. It's coming to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. We should be rejoicing. We should be getting strong to defend our God. Jesus says this, who else can requite Our Lady if not the one who lives in the same kingdom? That's us. So as we learn, like, for example, in May, we go over the Virgin Mary and the kingdom. If you haven't prayed the Virgin Mary and the kingdom, I beg you, this might be the last time for many people to read the Virgin Mary and the kingdom to get ready for what's coming. It's not a doom and gloom. Jesus says, I know how long each person's going to live on earth. They're not there a moment longer or a moment later than what I have planned. God knows how much you drink. God knows how fast you drive. God knows how much you smoke. God knows how you are. And he wants us to change so that we can live with him forever. But he knows us. He's God. He's got everything planned. And what he says basically is get ready for the heaven, new heavens and the new earth. He says, in fact, only in this kingdom where the universal operation, the love of God and the love of everyone embraces everything and from which nothing can escape, he says, you must know that the one who possesses the kingdom of my God, my divine will on earth, has right to the universal glory in heaven. So he's showing us, if you're not living heaven on earth now, you don't have that right for that universal glory in heaven. But if you are living this life, if you're striving for it, you're going to confession each week, you're striving, spending time for the Blessed Sacrament, learning how to fall in love with God, you have the right to this universal glory. If you're reading the Book of Heaven, to see the more that you're striving for this life, the more you're going to receive it. He says, in this, it will come in a natural and simple way. My divine will embraces everything and involves everyone. So from one who possesses it, comes all the goods along with all the glory that these goods contain, while the universal glory comes from Our Lady. She also receives it. And to you, Louisa, who also receive it. See, this was breathed into Louisa. This life, this true life of Jesus and Mary. Now, no one can compare to Jesus and Mary. The Son of God, the Mother of God, Theotokos. Louisa is the newborn, the little one. Well, while the universal glory comes from her, she also receives it. And do you think it is trivial, Jesus says, to possess a universal glory in the celestial fatherland? Therefore, be attentive. The kingdom of the supreme will is immensely rich. There are coins that spring forth. So everyone expects something from you, Louisa, and also, especially from my mother. My mother wants the return for the universal love she had for all generations, which she breathed into you, Louisa. And you, Louisa, in return, are due in universal glory, in the celestial fatherland, in the exclusive inheritance of one who possesses the kingdom of my divine will on earth. This exclusive and divine inheritance is found in volume 20 through volume 36. And Louisa, her whole life was prepared for those final volumes. Her whole life was prepared for this. And she spent her whole life reading, studying, and putting into practice these truths. Louisa possesses this gift. Louisa possesses this universal glory of the celestial fatherland. And the church is going to proclaim that. Jesus says in volume 13 to Louisa, all generations will call you blessed. What? To take the place of the Blessed Mother? No. Like daughter, like mother. She's following the footsteps of the Queen of Heaven and Earth, and she's the little newborn. And she'll always be the little newborn next to the mother and queen. But this is the life that our God wants us to begin to live. The life that God breathed into Adam right at the beginning. Image and likeness. Volume 21, 3, 16, 19, 27. It was necessary that I, God, chose one creature who would live in the divine fiat in order to receive from her universal acts, Catholic acts, because my divine will is universal. It is present everywhere. There is no creature that does not receive its life. By withdrawing from my divine will, Adam rejected the universal good. Adam took away from God the universal glory, the universal adoration, the universal love due to him. First, God wants, by right, a creature born of original sin to whom, as she lives in this fiat, God may again communicate this universal act. And as she loves, adores, and glorifies and prays, she may constitute herself together with his most holy divine will, the very divine will, universal love for all of humanity. That's how we're supposed to live. Jesus said that my command to you is you love one another. That's the divine will in a universal way. She loves, she adores, she glorifies, she prays, she constitutes herself together with the very divine will, universal love for everyone, adoration and glory for each soul, diffusing her prayer as if each one were praying. And she prays in a universal way, a Catholic way, that the kingdom of the divine fiat may come into the midst of creatures. And when a good is universal, universal acts are needed in order to obtain it. And only in my divine will are there these acts that are necessary. So God is teaching us how to live the Catholic life in a more in the way that he planned from the beginning. As you love in the divine will, your love extends everywhere in my divine will, everywhere it is. My divine will feels your love in every place. My divine will feels itself followed everywhere. And therefore, the divine will feels in you, Louisa, the origin of love, God. Just as it has been established for the creature to love the divine will, in the beginning of creation as God breathed into Adam. You, Luis, are receiving what I gave to Adam, but more so because it's the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, and the true life of Mary, the new Eve. Jesus says, it feels its own echo in your love that does not know how to love with little and finite love, the human way, but with infinite and a universal love in a divine way. It feels the first love of Adam before he sinned and when he did nothing but repent and echo the will of his creator. And it feels as though drawn by these universal acts that follow it everywhere and come to reign again in the midst of humanity. Everyone's going to receive this. Everyone that survives, Jesus says, is going to receive this. But what are we going to survive? It's either we're with God or with the evil one. There's nothing in between. Nothing in between. It's either with God or with the devil. It's with either in light or in darkness. It's either you're a tare or you're a wheat, a grain of wheat. Either you're a sheep or you're a goat. God is saying he's coming for division. That's why he's saying to everybody, what do you want? And what did we read from the beginning? Mankind is going to bring about the exhaustion of evil, the exhaustion of evil, where God is going to bring us the universal life. This is what he says. He says, I want the divine will in these universal acts to follow the divine will everywhere and to come to reign again in the midst of humanity. This is why I, Jesus, have chosen you, Luisa, my daughter, and from the same stock, not only to manifest to you the knowledges, the goods, the prodigies of this fiat, this third fiat, but so that living in the divine will with your universal acts, you might incline the divine will to come to reign again in the midst of creatures, as in the beginning of creation when God created Adam. So that's what we're learning. We're learning how to live in the divine will, to incline God, to ask God, to plead with God. May your kingdom come to reign on earth as it is in heaven, as in the beginning. That's our job. Therefore, to you, it is given to unite everyone, to embrace everyone in the universal life, the Catholic life. Everyone will have this faith so that finding everyone and everything in you, Luisa, just as everything is found in my divine will, you may place harmony among all of humanity and they may exchange the kiss of peace and my kingdom shall be restored in the midst of humanity. Here then is the necessity of the knowledges of the lessons that I give to you, Luisa, of the manifestations that I give to you, Luisa, as the prophecies that I give to you, Luisa, the prodigies that I give to you, Luisa, of the wonders of my divine fiat. Why? To dispose souls, to attract souls to desire, to want, to long for this kingdom and for the goods that are in it, as well as the necessity that I first choose one creature, Luisa, who has the true life of Jesus and Mary, by living in my divine will with her universal acts that my divine will itself administers to her. These are divine acts. May impetrate the kingdom of my divine fiat for all of humanity. If you've read the book from the Vatican, the Sun, S-U-N, of my divine will, Luisa Picaretta. The church knows, Luisa. The church is waiting for that day when God says, go, proclaim. There's nothing to worry about. God is in charge. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. It's going to be tough. So listen to what Jesus says. Volume 22, 8, 17, 19, 27. My daughter, everything that the creature does in my divine will is universal property. Everything that you think, say, and do is one with God in the divine will. Now, how do you get to that point? By not living in your human will. Who doesn't live in their human will? Jesus, Mary, Luisa. In fact, since my divine will is property of God, everything that is done in the divine fiat becomes divine property. And since the supreme will by nature, by right, by creative power, as the creator of all things, is the only universal order, owner of everything, everything that the soul does in my most holy divine will acquires universal rights. And everything that is rendered universal becomes the property of all. See, we're understanding more and more this Catholic life. So everyone who can take what is rendered universal, more so since in giving themselves to all, the universal properties of God never decreases. They give and they lose nothing. Now, what glory, what honor does the soul who live in my divine will and operates in the divine will not give back to God? What honor doesn't a soul give back to God as she lays her acts within the universal properties of God in such a way that more than sun, here's the book of heaven, I mean the book of the Vatican, more than sun, Luisa could take all the goods of her acts. And what glory is it not for her as more than sun? She invests all of humanity. And with her light, she goes around to feed all of them with her light as her acts, her love. This is the first bread. Luisa possesses this. And that's why as mother, as little mother of the divine will, she feeds us every day if we wish. She nurtures us every day as if we wish. And that's from Jesus. Jesus is giving the lessons, not Luisa. Jesus is giving the truths, not Luisa. Jesus is giving the manifestations, not Luisa. She's putting it down on paper so that we can read this and say, yes, I want this. I want this life. I want no other life but this life. And then we begin to look at our human will. Why are we miserable? Because we're in charge. And what Jesus says is enough. Basta. Enough. Stop it. Enough. Heard that from my grandmother a lot. Stop. And as a matter of fact, which was funny, we were reading about Father Bucci, and the cardinal came to see Luisa. And Luisa's running around making all this noise. And Aunt Rosaria came out and she says, stop, stop it. It's really funny. It really is hilarious. And the Lord loves children. And that's why the evil one wants to kill children. The evil one wants to destroy what God loves the most. God loves us very, very much. He's got great plans. More than sun, Luisa can take all the goods of her acts. And what glory is it not for her? It's more of a sun that she invests all of humanity with her light, this light of Luisa, which is the reflection of the light of Jesus and Mary, to feed all the people around with this light, this love, this life of God, this bread, this first bread of God. Volume 32, 11, 10, 19, 33. My blessed daughter, in my celestial fatherland reigns the one and universal act. Okay, so Jesus is showing us that where the Catholic Church dwells is in this one and universal act. One is the will of all. Whether one wills, the other wills as well. No one changes action or will. Do you see what God is doing? Each blessed feels my divine will as his own life. And that's what Jesus teaches Luisa. He says, this wedding feast that's coming, each person will be married to Jesus individually as well as collectively in the church. But God, this is why we wear the wedding ring. It's God has proposed to us. I want, he says, you to enter into the heavenly wedding feast. I want you to possess this gift of God and man as one. The blessed feels my divine life as his own life. And because they have one single will, it forms substance and the happiness of the whole of heaven. More so since my divine will knows not how to do, nor can it do broken acts, but my divine will knows how to do continuous and universal acts, since in heaven it reigns with its full triumph and its with its totality of its dominion. Everyone feel as their own nature, its universal life, and are full up to the brim to overflowing of all the goods that the divine will possesses. We haven't seen anything yet. It's close. How do we, Jesus says, how do you know it's close? He says, we know it's close because of what I have dictated to you, Louisa, which you put down on paper. What is written is going to happen. It is going to happen. He says, at the most, it might be in them according to the capacity of each one and to the good they have done in life, but no one shall be able to change either will or action or love. How did you live this? This is what God's going to look at it. Is it your human will or is it the divine will? Is it a human action or is it Jesus in you doing it? Is it a human love or a divine love? Jesus is offering this to us. The power of the divine will keeps all the blessed absorbed. The power of the divine will keeps all the blessed identified. The power of the divine will keeps all the blessed fused within itself as if all were one, one with God, fused with God. And do you think that its universal act, its life palpitating and communicative to each creature extends only in heaven? No, no, Jesus says, what it does in heaven, it does on earth. Do you see why the earth is changing? It's changing for the better. As you do your acts, your rounds in the divine will, when you begin to understand the round of creation, when you begin to understand the round of redemption, that prayer life of Jesus and Mary, that prayer life of Adam before the fall, heaven is here. Heaven is here. God is going to improve our prayer life. He says, no, it doesn't just extend only in heaven. It does it also on earth. As you pray your rounds on earth, your family is changing. Your nation is changing. The world is changing. The universe is changing. He says, it changes neither in action nor manner. It is a universal act that extends to each pilgrim soul, each soul on earth. And the one who lives in the divine will feels its divine life, feels its divine sanctity, feels its uncreated heartbeat that while constituting itself life of each person, keeps pouring into that soul with incessant motion without ever ceasing. It's that, as Jesus says, the ocean, the waves coming in and the waves coming out. It's this heartbeat of God. It's this breath of God that God wants to reign in us. And the happy creature who lets the divine will reign feels it everywhere, inside and outside of herself. This is the transmutation. As we enter into this gift, the inside begins to be changed. The outside begins to be changed. This body is going to change, this scripture says. But it rarely talks about the interior life. We're going to have the interior life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. That's why we were recreated, if you want to say, when Jesus died on the cross. He redeemed us. Why? So that we can be sanctified. This universal act keeps the soul surrounded from all sides in such a way that she cannot go out of my divine will. It is a continuous giving, keeping that soul always occupied with receiving. God breathes. We breathe in. God breathes back out to God. I love you. It's Jesus in us that's doing that. God is receiving the divine I love you because of Jesus being God-man. Because Our Lady Theotokos, Mother of God, we begin to learn how to breathe, not a human I love you, but a divine I love you. It's a continuous giving and keeps her always occupied with receiving, to give. So if she wanted to, the soul has no time to do or to think about anything else. That's why Jesus says, focus on the divine will. Therefore, the soul can say and be convinced that just as they live in heaven, so does the soul live on earth. As the saints live in heaven, the soul lives on earth. Jesus says, I want no dissimilarity. I want my children to live in my love. on earth or in heaven. There's no difference. The only difference is of place. But the one is the love. One is the will. One is the action. But do you know who it is that does not feel the life of heaven in her soul? The one who does not feel the universal act? The one force of my divine will? It's the soul who does not let herself be dominated by the divine will. How do we dominate? We just learned from the Blessed Mother, if you're doing the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom for May, we just learned from the Blessed Mother to take our human will and place it at the foot of the throne of God as she did. That's what she taught Louisa. And now we bring our human will. I don't want to continue to live in my human will. I want to live in God's holy divine will. I'm using my free will to choose to live in God's holy divine will. You don't lose your free will. You'll never lose your free will. That's a gift that God has given us. But the human will doesn't belong to us, Jesus says. The human will belongs to God. Now, finally, we're going to go into the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. This is essential to begin to understand that what this is has never been seen. I mean, we know about Jesus. We know about Mary. But Jesus says, I want to tell you about my mission. I want to tell you about my mother's mission. And now, Louisa, I want to tell you and the world about your mission. And Louisa didn't want to put this down on paper. So volume 17, 5, 1, 1925, I was thinking about the many things that my beloved Jesus told me about his most holy divine will, and some doubts came back to me. So the doubts are our questions. At the end of her life, she said to Jesus, I'm sorry for all the doubts. Jesus says, you never doubted. Those were the souls who are going to read this book, and they have doubts. So I gave their doubts to you, Louisa, so that you could give them to me and I could answer you in order to answer them. He said to Louisa, you never doubted. You never complained. You were never negative. She repaired and she redid everything. Wait till you get to know Louisa. She's so beautiful. Some doubts came back to me that, who knows, it might really not be necessary to say everything, or some things that were not necessary. But Jesus wanted to lovingly resolve my doubts, which are our doubts, to make me know the mission. He wants us to understand this mission. He entrusts to the one who is to make his divine will known. That's Louisa. Louisa. When somebody said to me, who's going to explain Louisa? I said, wait till you see who's going to explain Louisa. It's Jesus himself who's going to explain Louisa to the world. He's going to show the world this beautiful sign. Wait till you see what's coming. The mission he entrusted to Louisa, the one who is to make his divine will known, have chosen for this misery, having been chosen for this misery, I am, to my great stupefaction and confusion, continuing his holy instructions on this matter, told me, so you know, Louisa knows she's nobody. She knows she's nothing. And he told me, my daughter, every mission is to be connected to the office of executing it, and therefore it must be carried out, omitting nothing of that which belongs to it. In fact, every mission that is destined for the good of other souls has its own particular gifts, graces, and riches, and divine qualities that are useful for its execution. So he says, my holy humanity received from my divinity the mission of the salvation of souls and the office of Redeemer. So who redeemed us? Who saved us? Jesus himself. Mary was with him on Calvary. That is to redeem them from the slavery of sin and from eternal death in order to carry out this office. I, Jesus, was given their souls. I, Jesus, was given their pains. I, Jesus, was given their satisfactions. Therefore, I, Jesus, enclosed within myself everything from everyone. And if my holy humanity had neglected to enclose it in itself, just one soul, one satisfaction, the office of a Redeemer would not have been complete. See, he redeemed everybody, all of humanity. I would not have enclosed in myself all the graces, all the goods, all the light that was necessary to give each soul. And even though not all of the souls are saved, so he shows us that what's said at a lot of funerals is not true. says, even though not all souls are saved, this says nothing. On my part, I, Jesus, had to enclose the goods of every human being, past, present, and future, so that I, Jesus, might have necessary and superabundant graces for all of humanity, past, present, and future, in order to be able to save everyone, even though not all of the souls are saved. They don't want to be saved. This was convenient for me, for the decorum and the just honor of my office as Redeemer. Each created being has its own office to carry out. So Jesus is saying, you have an office that must be carried out. You have a mission that needs to be carried out. And that's what the divine will shows you. No matter where you are, Louisa was in bed for 70 years, yet she fulfilled her mission. You would be surprised what God has planned. And it's not according to human standards. It's according to God's standards. Each person has an office to carry out, and that office is unique. Linked to that soul, to that creature, in order to execute it well. It's the only, you're the only one that can do this. It is necessary. You're the only one that can live your life with all that's happening. All the suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, all that you're going through, you're the only one that can carry out this life, but God is with you. And God is helping you live this peaceful, joyful, happy life in every situation that you're in. So he says, it is necessary that the soul who is to carry out the office entrusted to her contains so much of that good that she must give to others according to the mission for which she was created, that as much of it as she gives, it is never exhausted, even by one atom. This was even more convenient to me, who was to be the new sun of souls, S-U-N of souls, who was to give light and life and love to all of humanity and to embrace everyone with my light to bring all of humanity back to the supreme majesty, offering to this divine majesty an act for myself, Jesus says, that would contain all the acts to make the superabundant light of my divinity descend upon all of humanity in order to rescue them all. He's done everything. And all that he asks of us is, will you begin to live this abundant life? Will you begin to live this? So Jesus shows us that he came to earth to save us. He came to earth to redeem us so that we're not slaves to the devil anymore, that we don't belong to him in any way, shape, or form, that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus wants us to have his life, his mother's life, the new Adam and the new Eve's life. And this is what he breathed into Louisa. And as you read the volumes, he's breathing into us as well. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. He really is. It's a new and divine way of holiness. He's given you the book of heaven. He's asking us, each and every one of us, to begin to live this abundant life. It's a new and divine way of holiness. Can you imagine if you're just first hearing this, how much hope God is giving to us right at this point? Yes, it's dark out there. Yes, there's wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, earthquakes. But Jesus says the kingdom is coming. The evil one's putting up as much as he possibly can. Jesus has done everything in order to rescue us all. He died on the cross, shedding every drop of blood for our redemption. And now he says, get ready for what I'm going to do. He's given us the book of heaven. This is the most beautiful thing that God can give to all of us. And this is why he's asking us, pleading with us to begin, just to say fiat. And let him teach us, guide us. He wants to give us lessons so that we can get, so the kingdom can come quicker. So I'll end with a prayer and be back in an hour and 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.